Welcome back. This is still Truth Jihad Radio. We're still being broadcast on We the People Radio Network, and I'm still your host, Kevin Barrett, broadcasting today from Ed Thompson's restaurant up here in Tomah, Wisconsin. It's Mr. Ed's TPE Club. There's a Libertarian Party meeting up here, and so I'm up here for that, as well as for the radio show where I'm operating out of Ed Thompson's office. So we're working on pulling up the second hour guest. That's Dave Lindorf. He's one of the country's liveliest, most interesting writers. We have a lot of background noise here, so maybe the switchboard can try to shut that down in just a sec. In the meantime, I can tell you a little bit about Dave. He's the author of The Case for Impeachment. At least I think that's the name. I don't have any notes in front of me. My computer is off. I've got nothing in front of me. I'm operating from memory. If I make any mistakes, blame it on my memory. But I believe he's the author of The Case for Impeachment, and he's on the web at thiscan'tbehappening.com, I think it is. Anyway, Dave is a fascinating guy, a very lively writer. He's a musician. He publishes at Counterpunch quite a bit. He's a very good investigative reporter who has worked in mainstream publications as well as alternative ones. One of the very few mainstream reporters who's gone there in places like the whole subject of the loose nukes and the Kennebunkport warning. Dave Lindorf published some of the best articles on that subject ever last year. Let me ask the board here at We the People, could you please try to take off this noise on the line, shut down any whatever line it is that is giving us this background noise? Well, shortly after the loose nukes scandal, which was last August, or a year from last August, a little over a year ago, at that point, as you may recall, some nuclear weapons had been stolen from the U.S. arsenal in Minot, North Dakota, put on board some old B-52 bombers, or actually, you know, loaded onto these bombers, which is never supposed to happen, and flown across the country to Barksdale, Louisiana. And in Barksdale, some crew people there saw these nukes loaded on these B-52s and blew the whistle. Which prevented these nuclear weapons from being, exploded in a false flag attack over an American city, taken over to Iran to be set off over there. Who knows? But the whatever it was, it was pretty serious, and a whole lot of people did lose their jobs, heads rolled left, right, and center, and Dave Lindorf wrote probably the best articles on this subject out there for a guy who is published in places like The Nation magazine, and Counterpunch, which are not exactly friendly to the so-called conspiracy movement or the 9/11 truth movement, which is, of course, where I am located on the political spectrum. It's great that Dave's out there doing this kind of cutting-edge, well-sourced, brave work, and even sometimes sneaking it past the gatekeepers. I don't know if he's on the line yet, but let's check. Dave, you there? Hello, Dave? Dave's not here. Why does this always happen with guys named Dave? I always flash back to the Cheech and Chong record with Dave's not here. Dave? Yeah. Anyway, in the meantime, since Dave's not here, anybody else who wants to call in is welcome to be a brief mini-guest until we can get Dave up. The number here is area code 512-646-1984. That's area code 512-646-1984. At We the People Radio Network. You know, that loose nuke scandal, though, was never adequately reported in the mainstream, despite the best efforts of people like Dave Lindorf. And we're now in a situation where, you know, because that's never been fully adequately investigated and publicized in a transparent way, we just don't really know what's going on. with our nuclear arsenal. I'm just getting a word that we're not having any luck reaching Dave Lindorf. I hope that we're trying both his home and his cell phone, and hopefully he'll hear about it and come in real soon. The whole story of nuclear weapons being stolen from the U.S. arsenal by insiders in the military is pretty frightening. The military people who plunder our own arsenal and sell the weapons sometimes are not necessarily the kind of people that you want with their hands on nuclear weapons. Just for example, the assassins of both President John F. Kennedy and Martin Luther King were tied into an arms smuggling network that was stealing weapons from U.S. military arsenals and selling them in the black market, using the money for covert operations. These are kind of corrupt spin-offs of our military and intelligence communities that also deal in drugs. As many of my listeners know, the CIA is perhaps the world's biggest drug dealer. And, of course, that's all off the books, right? Well, these off-the-books arms thefts from arsenals are tied into these same kinds of criminal networks. And getting nuclear weapons into the hands of these kinds of criminal networks just seems like a really, really bad idea. In fact, these are the same kind of networks that have been implicated in the 9/11 attacks by none other than Sybel Edmonds, the most gagged whistleblower in American history. She's got a whole long list of FBI gag orders on her, and she's continued to try and tell the truth about what she saw in the intercepts that she was translating. She's a Turkish speaker and translator. She was working for the FBI shortly after 9/11 and saw all kinds of documents, which she has let it be known, despite these gag orders, that indicated that 9/11 was financed in part with the help of Richard Perle and Douglas Feith, two neoconservative then members of the Bush administration itself. They did this through the good offices of two groups, the American Turkish Council and the American Azerbaijan Council. Both of these groups are bogus sort of friendship organizations between the U.S. and Turkey and Azerbaijan, respectively. But what they really are, according to information developed by people like Wayne Madsen and of course, Sybel Edmonds, is that these are covers for a criminal arms smuggling and drug smuggling networks. Now, these particular networks are tied in with the so-called Russian mafia, or some people call it the Russian-Israeli mafia. And these folks are big-time drug and weapon smugglers, supposedly operating with everything up to and including nuclear weapons. So, having groups like this get their hands on nukes from the U.S. arsenal is bad news. Let's just hope that the powers that be have tightened things up a little bit. Let's hope that the good work of my hopefully soon to be arriving guest, Dave Lindorf, will continue to prevent any horrendous accidents or false flag attacks with nuclear weapons. Because, you know, as Tommy Franks, the former famous Iraq Gulf War I general, put it in an interview with Cigar Aficionado magazine, the next big 9/11 is going to be the end of the Constitution. And if it's bigger than 9/11 with a nuclear weapon, the advantage to that for the bad guys, of course, is that they will not leave a trail of evidence, or should I say a mountain of evidence, piled up to the skies like they did on 9/11. That was a little too clever, I think. They really outdid themselves with that sprawling, complex, compartmentalized covert operation that where the left hand didn't know what the right hand was doing. The result was that, you know, anybody with eyes in their head can take a look at this and quickly figure out that it was an inside job. The next time, if they just set off a nuke somewhere, there won't be any evidence left. All there will be is a big hole in the ground. And what'll we do then? You know, will we have awakened the people to the point that people will be innately skeptical? And when the authorities try to blame, say, Iran and launch a war, will the people rise up and say, no, we don't believe you? I don't know. But that's the kind of thing that, you know, keeps a lot of us awake nights because, you know, if they would do 9/11, you know, what wouldn't they do? And if they can just snatch nuclear weapons out of a U.S. Air Force base, load them on a B-52 bomber and fly them across the country to the most corrupt Air Force base in the country, and just by sheer luck have some honest people at that base blow the whistle on it, you know, who knows what else they've actually succeeded in stealing from our arsenal. So we still have to be very much aware that the big 9-1-1-2B sequel to 9/11, that next big false flag attack on American soil, could happen anytime. We just saw the next big Pakistan event with this hotel bombing in Pakistan. It's a bit of a coincidence, isn't it, that this happened right after the new Pakistani government made it clear that it would not tolerate any more U.S. border incursions from Afghanistan. Virtually the moment they announced that policy, boom, up goes a hotel. That's called sending a message. And it's not even very well hidden anymore. As I recall, the official U.S. statement about this was that, Pakistan had better get on board with the war on terror, or else these bad things will happen. Yeah, right. It's Al-Qaeda doing that, huh? Sure, whatever. You know, it's like they're not even trying to conceal their misdeeds anymore, folks. They're right up front with them. They're pretty much holding it in our faces and you know, shoving it right there in front of our noses and daring us to even do anything about it or to speak about it. It's disgusting. If anybody else wants to call in and vent, it looks like Dave Lindorf may be out of range. I thought he was flying home today. We do have his cell and his home phone number. He was supposed to be at home, but maybe Dave got interrupted somewhere. So anybody who wants to call in and be a mini guest and or a caller, like Alex from Texas was yesterday, listeners to yesterday's show may have remembered that Alex guy who called in from Texas. He's a real troublemaker, you know that Alex guy? He's just, you know, he's always out there rabble-rousing, causing trouble, you know, calling the shows, giving us a hard time. Well, you know, Alex from Texas, you can always call in again if you want, as can anybody else right here at We the People Radio Network. We're on here at 512-646-1984. That's area code 512-646-1984. And we will welcome all topics. I guess I was going to talk with Dave Lindorf about his most recent publications over there at counterpunch.org. But we'll talk about anything you want to talk about here, including, we could always talk about the state of the 9/11 truth movement, such as it is. We only have a few more months where this administration can be legally, constitutionally in office. Once they're gone, what are we going to do, folks? Will ordinary people sort of breathe a sigh of relief and just, you know, stick their heads that much further into the sand on 9/11? Or will people breathe a sigh of relief and feel a little bit less fear? And as the fear starts to dissipate, will they then be willing to go there? Because this nasty administration that so many people blame for 9/11 won't be there anymore, at least officially. I don't know. It could go either way. You know, it could be mass denial continues and accelerates, or it could be that people finally get up the courage to take a look at this material and hopefully get a real investigation going. We do have some deadlines for real investigations coming up, or some dates that could bring us real investigations, including next year. It looks like the New York City 9/11 ballot initiative on the web at nyc911initiative.org has collected their 30,000 signatures that will put them on the ballot, not this election, but next year in November 2009. There will be the New York City ballot initiative referendum on the New York City ballot. Voters will decide whether they want to create a new independent 9/11 investigation with subpoena powers staffed by people like former Senator Mike Gravel, a 9/11 truth supporter, and other honest individuals. I think 2009, now by then, it might happen. You know, we may have a new administration in office. People may stop, having this horrible cognitive dissonance situation where the people that seem to have done 9/11 are the very people who are the symbolic heads of the government that we're living under. Hopefully they'll be out of there, assuming they don't set off one of those loose nukes somewhere and call off the elections. And so by November 2009, the people of New York City, half of whom think that 9/11 was intentionally allowed to happen, at least, to bring on those wars in the Middle East, those people of New York City who have already, according to the polls, decided that 9/11 was an inside job, half of them think it was an inside job, active or passive, those people will have a chance to vote to create a real investigation with subpoena power. And I think by 2009, we'll actually have a shot at this thing, assuming, and of course these are always, you know, there's always assumptions, but assuming that we're not being panicked with more wars, assuming that the powers that be aren't still smashing our economy and, you know, forcing us into a state of economic emergency where all people, you know, have time for is their own stuff. You know, those are big assumptions. You have to always assume things, I guess, but just, you know, assuming things roll along on their natural course, I wouldn't be too surprised if this new 9/11 investigation coming out of the New York City ballot initiative, NYC911initiative.org, could actually bear fruit. And it's not going to be that complicated, folks. Once we get an actual investigation with subpoena power, with the power to compel testimony, with the power to bring in witnesses, get them to sit down with hard-nosed prosecutors, take lie detector tests, be offered leniency in return for truth, in return for testimony, as happens in real criminal investigations. The moment this process starts, the 9/11 criminals are going to fall like a row of dominoes. Boom, 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 boom. They're all going to come down at once. The sooner the better, as far as I'm concerned. I'm sick of living in this country ruled by lies. I want to get back to our republic. This is Kevin Barrett. You're listening to We the People Radio Network. This is my show, Truth Jihad Radio. Feel free to...
Online and on demand, this is We the People Radio Network.
Radio. I'm your host, Kevin Barrett. I'm on every Saturday and Sunday, 2 to 4 p.m. Same time, same channel. That is Central Time, right here on We the People Radio Network. Well, I'm happy to report that we did manage to track down Dave Lindorf. Dave is one of my favorite internet writers. He's kind of one of the few people who managed to straddle that that line between the genuinely alternative media and the mainstream and sort of soft alternative media. He writes regularly on counterpunch.org. He's been in The Nation magazine and some mainstream outlets as well. As I said in the earlier segment, he wrote a terrific couple of articles about the Loose Nukes case in August of 2007, which really has to put him in the truly free speech alternative journalism camp. He's a remarkable writer, a musician, and, you know, I'm doing all this from memory, Dave, so correct me if I get any of this a little bit wrong, but I believe you're the author of The Case for Impeachment. Is that right?
Yes.
And, yeah, that's a book, The Case for Impeachment, and your website is thiscan'tbehappening.net.
.net.
This can't be happening. And speaking of this can't be happening, Dave, what's happening with our economy? You've published a couple of articles about this economic collapse that's going on, suggesting that it's even worse than it looks. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I'm often reminded of the mantra that we always heard while I was writing for Business Week, you know, which was, you know, the market knows best. Remember that line?
The market knows best.
They keep telling us that the market knows best. If the market's going up, the economy is going to be good. If the market goes down, we're in for a recession. You know, that kind of stuff. The market knows best. Well, you know, the market doesn't know what the hell is going on.
The market's out of its mind right now.
Yeah, I mean, the market doesn't know what's happening. What's happening is that the, you know, the entire credit system that on which everything runs has frozen. I mean, you know, I write for a magazine called Treasury and Risk, which is basically read by people in corporate finance departments and treasury departments of major corporations. And they are going nuts because, you know, in accounting, there's something called accounts receivable, which are the payments that are due to you because you've sold stuff or done services for customers or clients, or you've sold them goods. And so accounts receivable are the payments that are due to you. Those are accounted for in standard accounting principles as cash on hand because you know you're going to get paid, right? But right now, nobody knows they're going to get paid because nobody knows what any company is worth anymore. And so nobody's selling anything to anybody because they don't know whether they're going to get paid. They can't count accounts receivable as real money. So that's why nobody, you know, business is just drying up. I just made a trip to Connecticut from Philadelphia up to where my parents are. And I went up on a Friday and came back today. And I want to tell you, there were no trucks on the road. No trucks anywhere. This is a major artery, route I-95, and no trucks. And Saturday is a big truck delivery day. Friday night's a big truck delivery day. There's no goods and services are being transported. I haven't even seen that story. I think that the economy has ground to a halt.
Wow. Yeah, I hadn't noticed that. I've seen a few trucks on the road here in Wisconsin, but who knows, maybe there's the stragglers who haven't gotten the word yet. But
check out the volume, you know. I mean, I'm sure there's a few, but it was just stunning to me that, you know, Friday night, I used to be a truck driver. Friday night is a great night for driving trucks, and there were no trucks.
Wow. Well, you know, people listening to this network might want to, you know, purchase some of those survival food and you know, gold and silver kind of thing from our sponsors. It sounds like
they're hoping that this $1 trillion of made-up money that's going to be guaranteed for guaranteeing these completely crap mortgages, that's going to spark the stock market to revive. And I want to tell you that... You know, I can't think of anybody who would be a foolish enough investor to say, oh, I guess it's a good time to jump back in now. You know, nobody trusts this thing. Even economists are starting to say that this isn't going to work. And I cannot imagine that the 70% of you know, small investors who really fuel the stock market are going to jump back in. They're not going to want to take their 401ks and start putting them further at risk by gambling that the market's going to go up again. So it's going to be dead in the water. You know, there may be a little jump because the banks will sort of cooperate a la J.P. Morgan in the depression, in the great stock market crash, you know, and go out and buy stock and try to take people out into thinking they're the rebound. But, you know, nobody in their right mind would jump into this market at this point.
And this is all kind of based on the collapse of confidence in the corporations and the institutions and in the currency itself. The U.S. dollar is looking pretty shaky now, isn't it?
That's what it all boils down to. I mean, so let's face it, the dollar is not backed by anything except for the confidence people have that the government will back it. And the government hasn't been backing it. The dollar's been going down and down in value because the government has not been backing it. And now it can't back it because it doesn't have it has no assets. The government is in the red. And so, you know, both the budget itself is in the red, and the trade deficit is massively in the red. So there's nothing behind the dollar. It's a fake currency at this point, and the only thing that's holding it up at all is that the people who own it, which is China and Saudi Arabia, are not cashing it, you know, and are not calling in the debts because they don't want their holdings to collapse into a bundle of nothing. So they keep pretending that that their the T-bills that they've bought are worth something by borrowing some more. But they're getting to the point now where they're not going to do that. There was an article last week in the People's Daily, which is the official word of the Communist Party and the government in China, saying that it was time to get out of the dollar. Now, that's serious when it's in People's Daily. That's because that means that's the official thinking.
Right. If China gets
then there is no
dollar,
there is no dollar.
Right. Right. Yeah. Then we're going to be buying bread with bushel baskets of green paper.
Yeah, we'll be back. Well, that or we'll be back to a barter economy. I mean, this is far more serious than the average person knows. But I think people are catching on enough to know that that it's not a time to jump back into the stock market. No one is going to do that.
Well, what should people be investing in then?
Well, I'll tell you what, 3 years ago, I have a little, such as it is, I have a little 401k from back 10 years ago when I made a bundle of money in a couple of years. And so I stashed it away and, you know, was investing it in a sort of standard set of investments. But I, 3 years ago, I just decided that the dollar had it, and I had the fund to transfer it all into European and Asian stocks. And I've been making out like a bandit ever since, because it doesn't matter what their markets do, the dollar goes down, my stock value goes up. And I think that
I might have to ask you for a loan sometime.
Yeah, well, that's a safe bet. It's only a safe bet to the extent that my fund manager doesn't crap out and go
right.
Bankrupt, which is always a possibility.
Listen, we're hitting a break. We'll be back in a moment. Kevin Barrett with Dave Lindorf of ThisCan'tBeHappening.net. But it is happening. We'll be happy.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
Truth Jihad Radio. Kevin Barrett. I'm talking now with Dave Lindorf of ThisCan'tBeHappening.net. Dave has rattled the mainstream and alternative journalistic communities, writing for places like Business Week, The Nation, and Counterpunch.org. One of our best, our last real journalists out there, willing to tell the truth, and Dave's telling some very serious truth right now about our economy. So Dave, you kind of saw this coming. You got out of the dollar and into the European and Asian stock markets. Smart move. How low do you see the dollar going? And you know, as I see it, the structure here, the structural issue is that the dollar is being used as the world reserve currency. It's backed by petroleum, thanks to the special relationship with Saudi Arabia and now occupied Iraq. So other countries have had to stockpile dollars to buy oil. The U.S. has, of course, you know, imposed itself as the world's sole superpower. But then all we're producing is this green paper and military force. And we're forcing other countries to accept this green paper in return for real goods and services. And there's a certain point where they're just not going to accept it anymore. It's a disguised imperial levy on the imperial provinces. And you know, why should they go along with this?
Yeah, no, there's a point at which, you know, the U.S. ceases to be able to enforce its will. I think on the military side, we've reached it because, we've heard over and over about how the military is stretched so thin. It really is stretched to the breaking point. And so, you know, as long as we're tied down in Afghanistan and Iraq, we are a threat to nobody. So that stick is gone, and the dollar is, as I said, it's being propped up by external forces, and, you know, basically we're there until they decide how they can extricate themselves from the dollar, which is becoming a daily a more likely possibility. I mean, it's just what they have to do, the countries that are holding vast amounts of dollars, which would be Japan, China, Saudi Arabia, and, and then in descending order, some other oil countries. These countries have to figure out how to gradually get away from the dollar, unload it, and replace it with a basket of other currencies led by the euro. And that's going to happen. It's just a matter of the pace that they do it at, because they don't want the dollar to crash and leave them holding nothing. So it'll be a clever and gradual move away from the dollar. How low the dollar will go at that point, I am not, and I don't think anyone could tell you. But, you know, when you have a country that makes nothing, buys everything, is dependent massively on oil that it can't produce, you know, you're really talking about a debtor nation that could be on the scale of Brazil or, you know, in its bad days. Now Brazil's a net exporter. But, you know, when we used to laugh at the Latin American countries, that'll be us.
Well, we're already acting like an overgrown banana republic with our jefe, Bush.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, he's running the country like a banana republic. He claims the right to kidnap, disappear, torture, and execute anybody he wants just by calling them a terrorist. I mean, this is what the generalissimos and the jefes do. You know, it's not what U.S. presidents are supposed to do, but, you know, I think it's a symptom of the decline of our civilization and our empire. And, boy, I wonder just how fast it's unraveling. But, you know, if you're saying that trucks are staying home, the trucks are off the road, that's a pretty bad sign. Do you think we're in for more kind of shocking weeks like these last couple of weeks?
Yeah, no, I don't think it's over at all. I think this is just the beginning, and it's not clear that this rescue is going to happen anyhow. I mean, it's such a ripoff that even the idiots that pass for a opposition in Congress, I think, are going to start getting the message that people are starting to realize that this is a massive theft for the ultra rich, who will get out of, you know, they'll get rescued and then they'll take their money and do just what I did, you know, and move it overseas and leave everybody holding the bag. I mean, it's just a last gasp way for people who blew this economy up to get out from under.
Yeah, and you know, I guess some of the well-off people who've seen it coming have gotten out from under. How about ordinary working Americans? They're really stuck between a rock and a hard place now. Politically, could there ever be a sea change in our mainstream politics such that the politicians would start really, you know, caring, putting the interests of the ordinary working people ahead of the kind of people who are calling the shots right now?
I really don't know. Back in my youthful days as a leftist, anti-war activist, we all used to say with great certainty that, you know, the American average American working person would one day wake up when the economy crashed and it was held in front of their noses how they were being screwed. And that never really happened, but it's happening now. And I think, you know, the moment we're at the moment or approaching it, people are going to realize that that they've been royally stiffed and that the ruling elite does not have their interests at all at heart. And it remains to be seen whether that will remove the scales from their eyes and they'll, you know, wake up and see it for what it is. I'm less confident of that happening than I was 30 years ago, because the ability, the self-deception ability of the American people has been astounding in all these years.
Well, that's true, and also the deception ability of the people in power. I think we hopefully still have Ken from Maryland on the line, so let's bring him on. Hello, Ken. Thanks for waiting.
Hey, Kev.
Hey, how's
it
going?
How are you doing today?
Pretty good. What's up?
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, you're coming through loud and clear.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, when you guys were talking about investing, me personally, I would recommend investing in the four precious metals. That's gold, silver, lead, and steel. And some of those things are getting harder to find these days.
Yeah, well, gold just jumped real fast. Silver, too, there was just a huge jump in gold last week, wasn't there?
Yeah. But
you're definitely going to see those commodities go up. I'm not so sure I'd invest in steel and lead because they're both tied to commercial activity, and you're going to see a collapse in commercial activity. So not all commodities are equal.
Well, maybe Ken's gold. Talking about steel and lead in the form of, like, rifles and bullets.
But not, you know, steel is tied to construction activity, and we're not going to see a lot of that. And the same with lead is a commercial product. It's not a store of value. I think the notion of gold and silver probably makes sense. That's always true in inflationary times. So the only problem is it's gone up so high already, it may be a little late to buy in. But I'm no investment expert. If you looked at the history of my portfolio, you would realize that I'm the last person you want to ask for advice. And that's pretty well true of just about everybody I know who writes about economics. But I would say that, that investing in the stock market is a fool's errand at this point.
Okay. Well, does that answer your question or address the topic, Ken?
Well, I was just making a statement, and I would recommend possibly people investing in some type of water filtration system and some food, because some of these things are going to be the commodities in which we will be buying and selling in the near future, if not.
I'll tell you the best investment you can make. If you want a guaranteed good investment, then, and if you own a home, then you should invest in setting up a geothermal heating system, and because the return on that is going to be 1 to 2 years because of the high cost of oil or natural gas. So if you're heating your house with anything other than wood, you should switch over to geothermal.
Really? Okay. Well, when we come back from the break, maybe you can tell us how to find out more about that. This is Kevin Barrett on Truth Jihad Radio, right here on We the People Radio Network. I'm talking with Dave Lindorf and Ken from Maryland. We'll be back after the break, so stick around.
Remember the 5th of November.
I'm Ron Paul, and you're listening to We the People Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Truth Jihad Radio Show. I'm your host, Kevin Barrett. I'm on every Saturday and Sunday, 2 to 4 p.m. right here on We the People Radio Network. Today I'm talking with Dave Lindorf of ThisCan'tBeHappening.net, one of my favorite writers out there. He's worked for everything from Business Week to The Nation, publishes a lot at counterpunch.org, which is a great website, except that crazy Alex Coburn is still in denial about 9/11, but he'll get over it one of these decades. Dave, we're talking about the economy, and I'm always a little concerned when I look at this vast economic crisis coming down on us, and we still have these neocon fascist madmen in power, Bush administration lunatics, who've demonstrated their propensity for gigantic false flag attacks. And I wonder if these kinds of people are really perhaps capable of trying to maintain social cohesion in the face of a monstrous economic collapse by trying to target an external enemy just like they did with 9/11, you know, once again they could try to distract our attention from them and from being angry at them by making us angry with some brown-skinned foreign language-speaking people across the seas simply by staging another fake attack, getting us into another bogus war. Do you think this is a real possibility?
Well, I wouldn't rule it out. I mean, I think that we've seen for 2 years that they've been trying to gin up a war with Iran. But it appears that the, you know, that for one thing, I've always been one to believe that corporate America is calling the shots in this country. And I don't think that corporate America wants to take another roll of the dice and, you know, do something like attack Iran and drive oil prices up to $300 a barrel. So especially now, you know, I frankly think that the leaders of, you know, the corporate titans that run this country don't have a clue how to get out of the mess that they've gotten into financially at this point. So I think the last thing they want to do is make it almost impossible by creating a global depression through pushing oil up to $300 a barrel. So I think that there's a huge constraint on the actions of some nutcases in Washington who might like to start. That's my hope and my, as it were, Marxist political thinking in terms of what really runs things. I mean, I think economics runs things, and economics doesn't want to see another war.
Well, I agree. The thing is, though, Dave, that these days a small network of, you know, fanatical maniacs who are not that concerned about business, who are maybe concerned with their own save civilization from the evil Muslims, or, you know, save Israel from the evil, you know, Palestinians, you know, people who are fanatically committed to something that's really much deeper than just keeping the economy going. Such people can make things happen. You know, theoretically, all it would take is one of those loose nukes, and they could, you know, have another 9/11 pretty easily. They wouldn't have to, you know, organize anything nearly as intricate as 9/11 just to set off one of those.
Yeah, but we, you know, I sort of agree with what you're saying, but I also think that we've seen very dramatically in the form of Gates' crackdown on nuclear controls and stuff and firing of generals that the, I think within the military structure of the United States, there has been a fairly potent rebellion, off the charts rebellion against this kind of willful misuse of the military in the U.S. And I think that there are constraints on the actions of Cheney and Bush and these neocons in terms of what they can get away with now. I mean, I think that it's really a serious reality that the generals know that the military is overstretched and at the breaking point, and they're not going to let it be pushed over the edge. So it's not like disobeying orders, which is, you know, a pretty heavy step. It's resistance at every step of the way, plus actions by Gates that he can take to do things like clamp down on control over nukes and stuff like that. So I think that there are some very powerful forces that are operating to prevent this kind of wackiness that you're talking about, which certainly is there, but I'm pretty hopeful that it's going to be restrained and that these guys are going to be out before they can do that. It's not as easy as you're saying to pull something like that off. You have to have a lot of deep connections in the right places, and I think they're losing those because, remember, they are lame ducks. So somebody who signs on with that is taking a big risk that they won't be there to cover it up later. And the closer we get to the end of this year, the harder it's going to be for somebody to make a bet to go with them on something crazy like that.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear it, you know, especially since you're pretty well versed in this. You wrote what I think are the best articles out there on the loose nukes scandal last year. Are there any loose ends to that loose nukes scandal that got tied up? It sounds like you think the saner heads prevailed and the custody of nuclear weapons was tightened up a little bit.
I think that clearly happened. And I think that the exposure of that was a damn lucky thing that some people had the guts to expose it. I think that it'll be years before we know the truth about what really happened there, but I don't think what we heard was the truth at all. But the response was so dramatic that I think it was clearly something serious.
Well, indeed.
It wasn't just wrist slaps. These were career people who lost their careers, and there's a huge shakeup in control over nuclear weapons now, which is quite unusual in the military.
Right. Well, yeah, that's all a great, a good thing, because, you know, I remember last year around this time we were feeling pretty insecure after hearing about that. But yeah, it's, you know, now I guess without the false flag attack, we could still have this economic emergency. And Bush says that he has the right to make himself dictator by declaring an emergency. That's another thing to tie on, I guess. If it's as bad.
No, I think we saw another example of this in the when those supposed Iranian gunboats were acting threateningly towards a destroyer in the Gulf a while back, and it came out that the supposed Iranian voice was not really an Iranian voice, and those were clearly a false flag thing of some sort, and the hope was I think that the destroyer was going to open up and fire on them, and then we would have had ourselves in a hot war, and it was clear that the commander of that ship did not do what he was expected to do. He sat it out, and I think he realized what was happening.
And I think some of this, I don't want to toot my own horn here too much and the horn of my listeners, but I think the 9/11 Truth Movement has been instrumental in helping raise this kind of awareness, at least among the people who are paying attention, which hopefully includes the high-ranking military people, to help people stave off these kinds of crazy false flag plans. That's what Bob Bowman said anyway. Bob Bowman, former head of the Strategic Defense Initiative, when it wasn't called that, it was just the Space Weapons Program under Ford and Carter, who he's gone, spent his summers touring the country on a speaking tour. And when I saw him when he was here in Wisconsin, he did say that he thinks the 9/11 Truth Movement may have prevented this kind of thing. The high-level military people he knows know the score. And he credits.
I wouldn't doubt that. Continuing to raise questions about what's been going on, both with regard to 9/11 and with regard to what's gone on in Iraq, and with regard to these nukes and all this other stuff that circulates on the internet and is clearly read, in military circles and inside Congress and elsewhere, has to have the effect of at least having people keep their eyes open and be alert to things. And these things show up in outside of the so-called internet. Some of the stuff I've written, like about the nukes, actually appeared in Pat Buchanan's journal, the American Conservative, which is itself widely read in certainly in Republican circles, where not everybody is a complicit criminal. And I'm not alone in that. I think there's some very intelligent stuff being written on the left, on the right, and in the center about these dangers.
All right. Well, that's a good note to finish up on here. It's been a great conversation with some hopeful notes as well as cautionary ones about the economy. And it's always great to talk with you, Dave. I appreciate your coming on, and keep up the great work.
Thanks for thinking of me.
Okay, take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye. That was Dave Lindorf. He's on the web at thiscan'tbehappening.net. One of the best writers out there. Check him out. Tell the truth and even straddle the mainstream a little bit. We'll be back next week, same time, same channel. Kevin Barrett on the web at barrettforcongress.us. See you next week.